You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast. My guy Roman Harper, Super Bowl 58. It's been going down all week in Vegas, baby.
It's been amazing. It's been a lot of traffic. It's been a lot of some stuff. I just call it stuff. We'll just say it's a lot of stuff that happened this week. But we recorded a lot of podcasts.
18
different guests. We all brought them all out. They showed up, showed out. It was awesome. First of all, shout out to our viewers, as always, wherever you pick up your podcast. Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you do, wherever you listen or watch, always maintain to give us a review. Give us 5 stars. Click that follow button. Leave a couple comments. Please share. Peanut, who we got on this next episode?
We got great duo, Sean Alexander, one of my old teammates, Brian Urlacher. These episodes are going to come out. We did this clearly ahead of time, but these next two episodes, you're going to love them.
No. They're definitely going to love them. But Brian Urlacher. Hall of Famer.
I didn't give him justice.
Your best,
I apologize.
One of your best teammates of all time. Sean Alexander. One of the few running backs to have the audacity to claim the NFL MVP. And before that, roll damn tide. Let's go.
All right. Our next guest is here, and I am reading the bio this time because it is so home with me. First and foremost, roll tide, because we are here on the building, sharing the stage right in here with one of the greatest all-time players from the University of Alabama. He played 9 years in the NFL. He is a rare breed of being a running back who has won the NFL MVP. Yes, he has. And he's in the Seahawks' all-time leading rusher. After football, he's poured himself into his business and charitable work with the Standalone Foundation, along with being a dad to a quote-unquote very large family. My man, running back, number 37 on the field, number 1 in your hearts, Sean Alexander.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, my man. Roll Tide.
I'm
not going to say Roll Tide, but welcome to the podcast. I'm not saying that. Welcome to the show. I just will say this, and we can move on from Alabama pretty fast, but I always know it's a big game, or that I'm always around royalty whenever I get to see Sean on the sidelines. He's always been amazing to me.
Yeah.
He was a great teammate. He accomplished so much for the University of Alabama, and I love just seeing him back. And I don't know how many young people get to appreciate you, especially when I just read through your accolades of how great you were at what you did.
Nah, thank you for saying that. You know, it was weird. You know, I caught that day, both Pete Carroll and Nick Saban both decided to, you know, retire. People are calling me, Sean, how you feel? How you feel, Sean? You all right? My brother called, man. I got to take the shoestrings out your shoes, man. How you feeling right now? You know, because when I retire, Nick becomes the head coach of Alabama and Pete becomes the head coach of Seattle. And so they really, that whole 17-year run has been my years of retirement.
Oh.
And so it's been amazing. They both opened the doors wide for me to come be a part of. You know, in those 17 years, I only had 10 more kids, giving them a number of 13 now. And so so family's big, Bama football's big, Seahawk football big. My boys don't even understand what it's like for Bama or Seattle not to win it. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, being 2 more years.
It's normal. It's normal.
Something going to happen, you know. But thank you. I've loved my time in Alabama. Getting to see you guys, you know, go play in the league and retire. You know what I mean? Like it was just great. Nick Saban opened those doors and Pete Carroll opened up those doors. It was just really wonderful.
So For me, I think one of the best awards that I won probably in my career was when I won Man of the Year. But like Rome said, when he read your bio, in an MVP.
Yeah.
Running back that won MVP.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard to do that because we can just say it, the quarterbacks, they always win MVP.
Oh, nowadays,
it should just be the quarterback award. But you won that, and I feel like that's hard to do as a running back.
It is.
And you had an amazing season. How did that feel to win that award being a running back?
Yeah, so that year, the first game of the season, I had about 14 carries and about 60 or 70 yards. And on the last play, we were playing Jacksonville. We tried to throw this Hail Mary, and the defensive end clipped Hasselbeck's shoulder. So his shoulder was hurt. Next week, 20-something carries, 100 yards, two touchdowns. Next week, 100-something carries, 100-something yards, two more touchdowns. And then the coach was like, oh, you know, even though his man was playing, he was kind of tweaking the offense to kind of be like gadget passes and then run the ball with Sean. And so we just rolled that all the way through there. And that 1880, 28 touchdowns, I sat out of 9 quarters that year. 9.
Really?
I would have had 2,000-something yards. I played up to halftime against the Eagles. They had a big Reggie White. It was awesome. So some of my heroes, Reggie White was being honored. Sunday night football, I had 3 touchdowns at halftime. They was like, oh, we taking you out. we going to the cup. You ain't going to get hurt on our dime. And, you know, and so my last game of the season to get the rushing title to make sure I won it, you know, they took me out at halftime. So, you know, so there was 4 quarters there. And then there was 5 other games. I didn't play in the 4th quarter. We were just
– yeah.
It was a rare year where we had beat teams that bad in the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, I still say, yeah, I'd have probably had another 400 yards in them 9 quarters.
Most definitely.
Now I'd have had the greatest rushing season ever.
There's the NFL honors. And notably, they announced the 2023 class of the Hall of Fame class, excuse me. I think personally you need to be in there. You should have had your jacket a long time ago. So what are your thoughts on not having that jacket?
You know, I try not to make it everything.
Yeah.
But you know, you work so hard to go do stuff that's special. And you know, we had about 99 touchdowns in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like you want to be like, can we just drop the mic and walk off? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so you wait the process, but I definitely think that you have to be special to get in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You have to take your team to places that they haven't gone. And y'all know before I got there, people come to Seattle, get a fish dinner and a victory. And then by the time they only had 3 division championships in the first 26 years of playing.
Wow.
And then I get there and now it's known, like, loudest fans, you ain't going to beat them in the NA Stadium. So like that was the stuff that we built. And I laugh because, you know, you get Russell and Bobby. You know, I retire. Pete comes in. Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson come in. And they're like, ooh, this water's already warm. I'm like, yeah, all y'all got to do is just tip the water a little bit. Y'all gonna win. And that's what they did. So they get all the kudos they deserve to win in our first Super Bowl. But we had already shown them how to get there.
Right.
How to be champions. How to play championship football at home. How to win on the road. I think
the
that all
was
those
already
things,
created, yeah.
I think all those things set the stage for me to be able to get in. And at the same time, if you say it too much, then they look at you like you're funny. You know what I mean? So, one of my favorite running backs is Barry Sanders, and everybody understands why.
Yeah.
He had 99 career touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. And so that was my goal. I can get to 100. And so that's what I did.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that was a goal of yours.
Yeah.
That's a crazy, but I mean, that's beautiful. I'd like to. Look, I think you were great in the league, but you'll never be better than what you were at LSU your freshman year.
Where
you just took over the whole college football space by storm. You had the big thigh pads kind of hanging out on the side. It was like
my wings.
Yeah, whatever.
The ugly wings.
It was hilarious. But yes, that part. And so accomplishing everything that you did at the University of Alabama in Seattle as a professional player, could you maybe talk about what it feels like to have the Sean Alexander Award?
Yeah.
To go to the most impressive or the best freshman in college football.
Yeah, so it was really cool. You know, if you I tell people if you're the best player in the country, you win the Heisman. If you're the best freshman, you win the Sean Alexander. And it's been with a great honor. You know, about this is our 6th year. Caleb Downs won it this year. But about 7 years ago, the Football Writers Association, one of their main presidents, Mike Griffith, he said he was a beat writer at Alabama when I was there.
Oh.
He went on from there to Tennessee, and now he's Georgia's main writer. I said, I don't know if it's us players or if it's you that's bringing, you know, that everybody get their juice from. But he said, hey man, we got to put you around football. I just retired. And he said, yeah. love to get you a part of picking the freshman team. And so I picked the all freshman team with him and a bunch of other writers. And then the next year he said, yeah, we're thinking about naming it after somebody whose name is relevant and somebody who's, you know, at the end of the day, not a stinker. They'd be young enough that they could be around the players, but their name is solid. And I said, man, let me think about who I could help y'all with. You know what I mean? And he said, nah, Sean, like, we've been monitoring you for a year. It's going to be you. And I was like, oh, man, what an honor. And so Trevor Lawrence was the first winner.
Yep.
Kenneth Gainswell, running back for the Eagles, he was the second winner. Great. And I got to meet all these guys and hear their stories.
Especially when they were young, too.
Yeah, so I get to touch them at 18 and 19 and watch them grow to the men they are. Will Anderson won it. Brock Bowers was the fourth winner. Drake May. So it's really cool because Brock and Drake, they'll both hopefully be top 10 players this year, you know, so it's going to be great for them. And then Caleb Downs won it last year.
Yeah, he'll be a top.
And you just get crazy stories, you know, like, you know, I remember, you know, when Saban decides he's retiring, Caleb and I are talking on the phone one day. And then all of a sudden, he's like, man, everybody's blowing my phone. I'm like, yeah, they're blowing up my phone, too. And we FaceTime. So, you know, it had that little blur. And then he looks up and says, hey. Did we just pick a new coach? I was like, oh my gosh. We like, hey, we'll call you back. We hang up the phone and it's all the alumni that's been calling me. It's all players calling him. And so you get to have these moments with all these young players. So the award is great. We built it on four things. Talent, number one, you turn on that film and you like, ooh, I want him on my team. You know, and, character, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't got to be Mary Poppins, you know what I mean? But I need you to have some character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too young. I can't have you get in trouble in my name. Then number three, we say an ambassador. We talk to the schools. Like, man, an ambassador is one that speaks on behalf of somebody else.
Right, yes.
So, hey, is he an ambassador to your school? And we just do the work. You know what I mean? And then number four, we call a legend. And so since they're 18, 19 years old, you know, we don't know, but we assume and try to find out, is this kid going to be a pro?
Yeah.
And we've been proud with all our six now current winners. You know, from starting from Trevor Lawrence, it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I know Rome and I, we both do a lot of nonprofit work with our foundations. And I know you've been working with the Stand Together Foundation and Cafe Momentum. Can
yeah.
you talk about what's that been like?
Man,
what's that been like working with
it's
them?
It's been just wonderful. So I've been with them I've been with Stand Together Foundation about 5 years, being an ambassador for them. It's about 800 of some of the most successful men, women, and philanthropic leaders in the country. I mean, like, you know, I tell you some of the stories of these people. You'd be like, oh, that's who they are. I've been really honored to help some of them people, you know, spend their money, use their leadership to go impact some of the country's biggest issues in poverty. My heart was into juvenile justice. Y'all be around me. Y'all know I'm a mentor at heart. You know what I mean? And so so I love pouring into people and watching them mature into what they've been created to be. And Cafe Momentum just touched my heart. The chef, Chad Hauser, was award-winning chef. He left his restaurant and started Cafe Momentum because he did a little cooking session at a juvenile place. And touched his heart because he had this belief that most people have. Oh, these kids are trouble. These kids probably did it. They didn't. And he got to hear their stories. And he was like, he was ashamed of himself. But instead of like most people just being like, ah, okay, I guess I got to do better. He was like, I'm going to do something about it. He started Cafe Momentum. It's a year internship, paid internship. And the kids come in. They learn how to cook. Some of them are front door. They rotate through the whole year from cooking to interest to management to the chef in the back, but the secret sauce is he brings in, I call them the aunties and uncles, even psychologists, social workers, tutors. And what you're seeing is in recidivism in our country for most places is about 45 to 50%. That means they're going to go back to prison again. The thousands of Cafe Momentum kids, it's 11%. And so I said, well, why don't we just put one of these in every NFL city that we have? And so, you know, what if we changed how we treated these kids that made problems that probably should get some punishment and who ain't got a little whipping that they needed at one time? They need some discipline, but to be labeled as something like a throwaway, that's what they call most of these kids, a throwaway for something you did at 14, 15, 16.
Right.
Hey, I don't want them to know what I did at 16. Right. You know what I'm saying?
We just didn't get caught.
Let them label me something forever.
We didn't have these phones.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And so we now have, we started with Dallas. We now have opened up Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh one. We've opened one in Nashville.
Y'all got one in Chicago.
This year is Denver. The Broncos jumped in. They put money in. They put some of their stuff in. We've also got Atlanta ready to go. 2024, 2025, Houston, Miami, Tampa, LA starts all the works. Chicago is in the talks right now. Oh, wow. So we're getting all the goal is you go from 1 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 12. You know what I mean? And we slowly just change how we view these kids that make promise. At the end of the day, people need dads, people need moms, people need aunties and uncles. And when you put them around it, we already got the proof. These kids actually become successful people.
It takes a village, as they say.
It does. Yeah. Now, Sean, I got to know this because I think I know you, but I don't know this answer. Mm-hmm. What was your first welcome to the NFL moment?
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I would tell you on the good side was my second year playing against the Raiders. You know, it was a big game, Sunday night, and I break this 88-yard touchdown run. And that's when I thought, oh, I'm fast enough, strong enough. This place about to have a problem with Sean Alexander, you know. But I remember getting hit. I tell you, my hardest hit was by Roy Williams. And you know how football is. You know, when you hit that hole in college, it opens up, you're like, just out being speed, just out to stretch out. You know, that hole opened up in the pros. Somebody's coming to fill it. That's on purpose.
That's true.
Yeah,
that is true. You said that's on purpose. Hey,
that hole opened up, and I was like, wow, this is not cut back. And it was like, Roy, And I was like, oh, and I hit him, like, but I stepped into it. So I hit him, you know, everybody's, you know, our team jump up, yeah, feel that. You know, they hyping up, man.
What was your body feeling?
Man, but my body. I said, oh, you know, and then, you know, I talked with Roy a little bit later. He's like, oh, you know, I know it's a good hit. I don't even remember. I'm like, boy.
Did you stay in the game or did you come out?
No, I stayed in the game, you know, like, you know. You just wired a little different. You like, nah, you're going to have to knock me out to take me out of the game. You know what I mean? But he hit me good. I mean, good. He hit me good enough to be like, oh, okay. You know, and with which one of y'all? You
know? Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm
he got
crying
me
like
good,
you now,
man.
Bro. Yeah, I told you, dude. It happened. Oh, my goodness. So I know one of my best seasons was 2012. It was my MVP year or whatever, if you want to call it that. I remember one game that I just was, I don't know, probably one of my best games. What was your moment in your MVP season? Like, what moment stands out the most for you?
You know, we play, you know, so we that time we beat the Eagles on Sunday Night Football, that's when I knew we had a Super Bowl team. You know, I had 3 touchdowns in the first half. They took me out. And I also knew that's when I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to get the 2,000 yards. Because I knew that they were going to start taking me out of games to make sure I didn't get hit at the end of games. Because we was that squad, man. We was putting teams under. But I remember, and I can't forget, you know, one of the worst things to do is to play against somebody that wants that heat.
Oh,
And they don't know it. You know what I mean? Well, that's what happened my second year when we played the Minnesota Vikings. See, in high school, you know, there wasn't no cell phones.
Right.
So you going around and they'd be like, oh, man, hey, you know, Lou Holtz comes in from Notre Dame. Hey, you 3 guys come, man. You know, I got Mr. West Virginia, Mr. Ohio, Mr. Kentucky. That's why I'm from Mr. Kentucky.
Yep.
Man, you 3 come. We going to win that ship 3 years in a row. I'm like, well, why not 4? Oh, yeah, I ain't going to be here in 4 years. You know? That was Lou Holtz talking. Well, what I didn't know was until we all got older and we all went to different schools. One, Mr. West Virginia went to Notre Dame and then transferred out. Mr. Ohio went to Michigan and Mr. Kentucky went to Alabama. We didn't know. We just thought, hey, I hope I see you, blah, blah, blah. Until we all realized after we got in college who we was. Mr. West Virginia was Randy Moss.
Mm.
Mr. Ohio was Charles Woodson. And so we all now, you know, today we'd all went to the same school. We'd all been at Bama. You know what I mean? But we all went to different schools. Well,
wow.
Randy goes through his career, signs with Notre Dame, Florida State, and the Marshall. They're all hyping him up. Charles wins the Heisman.
Yep.
Goes over there, gets the pros. He's turning this year. And I'm over here like, you know, I won the SEC, you know, SEC player of the year. But I'm like, hold on a sec. I'm the show about this thing. You know what I mean? So we playing the Vikings. It's our second year. It's my show now. And they're all talking about Randy Moss. And I'm like, oh, they don't know what they about to happen. I scored 5 touchdowns in the first half.
Yes.
The only time it's ever been done. And that's when I was like, oh, yeah, let's go. I was like, I was so hungry for that game. And no one knew I had that fire up under here. I ain't gonna let everybody know I'm going off tonight. And man, when that thing was over, Randy was like, yo, bro, what's going on? You know, Randy, what's going on with all that? You know what I mean? But I want, because I did not want my high school buddy to upstage me. You know what I mean? He was already starting to make that name. And yeah, I was like, oh, and that was my beginning. You know what I mean? After that, they was all like, oh, they got a running back in Seattle. It started with that night.
That's funny as you talk. There's just Charles Woodson right behind us. Yeah, so he's just walking over there. Look at that.
That's how it is.
That's
man.
How it is.
Words matter.
Yeah, that's how it is here. I've written down how you scored those five touchdowns. But I want to know this though. I want to know, you have 13 kids. Can you reel off? I know you can.
Yeah, of course.
I want the names and the ages of 13, from oldest to youngest. Go.
So Heaven's 20. She's a sophomore at Liberty. Trinity is 18. She's a freshman at Trinity. She runs track. Eden is a junior. She's 16. So that's my three girls. Eden is was a sophomore All-American in track, but she's there. So then my boys, Joseph and Justice, 14 and 12. Get ready. And then after them, we thought, oh, we got three girls and two boys. Let's get
We're good.
Two more girls came up, Temple and Honor. They 11 and 10 right now. Did awesome. Great athletes, funny, smart. You know, them the queen bees right there.
Okay. Yeah.
Then we thought, okay, next is Jedediah. He's 8. The most alpha dude. He come in here and be like, is that my seat? He'd be like, dude, you 8, man. Sit your little, you know what I mean? So then we had 5 girls in a row. So I thought, man, we had 5 girls, 3 boys. Man, we're going to get these 2 more boys and we done. No, 5 girls in a row. So Tora is the one that we lost. She was 70 days old when she passed her SID. So I still say that I had 13 kids because she counts. She's living in heaven right now. You know, we all want to get there, you know?
Yeah.
So she would be 6 right now. Then you got Eternity is 5. And then you got Hosanna. Zan Zan is that power mama. You know what I mean? So she's 3. Then you got little Hopi. Hopi's 2. And then you got new Judea. She's our 5th girl. Judea's 7 months.
There it is. I knew you could do it.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing that you have that many kids.
Yeah.
They already have personalities. You already know who they are.
Oh, for sure. Man, it's so funny because, you know, once you have them and they're there, it's a lot of work. No doubt. But you value those one-on-one times with all of them. So like part of the normal week is everybody has a one-on-one date with dad, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour, and we rotate it, like, so who gets that what block of time? So I got to be very intentional with that time, but everybody gets a one-on-one date. Sometimes it's watching a video, like a 15-minute video, and then talking about it. Sometimes it's driving off and getting a little slurpy and having a conversation, and it just changes, like, depending on the age of the kid, like, what are we talking about from issues, boys, you know what I mean? I'm like, look, dad, I need somebody like you. They're going to have to be wealthy. I'm like, please, you go. You know, they're going to have that character. I'm like, all that stuff when I taught them, I'm like, yeah, it don't sound right when you say that. You know? And to the boys, just, you know, football and sports and faith, you know, just learning, oh, hey, well, dad, what'd you do? Like, you know, hey, what'd you do when a girl said that? Oh, we having that conversation? Okay, we ready now, you know? Like, good-looking boys, okay? Yeah. Let's have this conversation. So every one of those one-on-one conversations is so, like, lovely. And I just love being able to pour back into those kids. And that's part of, like, me mentoring some of the guys. Like, I get to come and remind them, like, who they are.
Yeah.
Let them understand, like, I don't want you to have a plan B for football. I want that to be plan A. But I also want you to have a plan next. Like, what are we going to do afterwards? So, like, we get to come and talk about all that from the girl you're around. Is this going to be a wife? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, how much time we want to give to somebody that ain't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
To making money and spending money. And so that's all a part of, like, my PLP, my professional leadership development program. And all that. So I just love all that. But you just got to be very intentional to go do it well.
With your time. Yeah. Look, man, thank you for blessing us.
Yeah.
With your presence and coming on the show.
Yeah.
Alabama royalty right here.
I'm going to say it.
He is king.
Alabama royalty
over here. That's awesome.
I always feel good when I see him and Dr. Anderson on the sidelines.
Yeah. we show up, you know that game's big. Hey,
whenever I see you and Dr. Anderson, like, okay, it's
you know what? You know what's really interesting? When I came down to Atlanta for the SEC championship, you know, I got to talk with Coach Saban because Coach Saban's like handle the guys, you know, so we're all there talking. And I said, I saw Nick, he was sitting over there and he kind of looked at me, gave me like the nod. I said, how's he feeling? He's nervous. I said, he should be nervous. I said, you know what I mean? We were winning before he got here. We're going to be winning after he leaves. You know what I mean? So I'm giving that tough love. And then I said, y'all know, we've been whipping Georgia this whole time. They were like, oh, there's a dynasty. We done played them twice in a dynasty and got 2 dubs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they done been in the SEC championship twice. They both were L's for them. You know what I mean? And so we just like, how big of a dynasty is it? You know? We did what we did. You know what I mean? We won another one. They didn't get to go.
And we will continue to do what we do. Sean Alexander, you are a blessing. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you joining us.
All right. You just heard Sean Alexander, one of the greatest running back in Alabama history. I apologize to that. Thank you. Now, our next guest, none other than Peanuts Hall of Fame teammate,
Brian Keith Urlacher.
Brian Keith Urlacher.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This next guest is one of my favorite teammates of all time. I probably don't need this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Played his entire career in Chicago, 13 years. Is considered one of the greatest players in the team's history. Elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2018. My guy, the biggest dummy I know, Mr. Brian Urlacher. Thanks, Brian Charles. Keith Urlacher.
Oh, all right. Anthony.
Shut up, dummy.
Yeah. Did you know his real name was Anthony?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I just think
it's funny because I've heard Dunce Dummy at least 12 times since you guys have both been on the stage at the same time.
He has an issue with words.
Clearly.
And you are insults, here on very behalf insulting. Of PHG.
PHG.
Golf. You guys
have
a thing.
Yes,
the golf. Maker of golf equipment.
The best golf equipment there is.
They make custom clubs?
What's cut? Like design fitted for you?
Like fitted for me.
Well, most, you don't play golf, obviously. You play golf?
I don't play golf, no.
So you know that most clubs are fitted, are custom made for you.
I didn't
you
know go that.
In, I'm talking to him. Oh, so you go okay. in and you get fitted, you know, and they size them to you and stuff like that, and then you're good to go. So yes, Charles, they're off custom.
PFG is specifically is like custom.
The best. They make everything the best.
Do you have a hookup? I need a contact.
Yes, we have a hookup. Definitely. Lila, right there. PFG, Lila.
All right. Tell me your first impression of this young man when you guys were teammates. Your first impression.
As a rookie.
Yes. Man. Go.
So 2003 is your rookie year, right?
2003, yes, sir.
Roman, so we played. Randy Moss used to be in our division, and Charles was good. He started from day one. He was always a good player, always running to the ball, always talking, always blabbing. But we played the Vikings. Was it late in the season?
It was late in the season. Yeah,
we didn't up to that point. We didn't have an answer for Randy Moss. So we put Charles versus him 1-on-1, and it was late in the game. They had to score. They throw a pass up to Randy Moss in the end zone. Charles intercepts it. Didn't run it back, but he got a nice play on the ball. I knew right then that we had us a guy. You know, certain guys you get, you're like, and I knew before then, but man, put him on 1-on-1 versus Randy Moss, rookie year. Randy was established already. You knew you had a dude right there.
Yeah,
because the locker room wise, great locker room guy. Great, you can see, but there's a little banter going back and forth. But we had fun, man. And we another thing that if you put a guy who's in the Hall of Fame. And then put Charles' number up there, and don't put their names there, and pick who's in the Hall of Fame. I bet you'd pick him because just from his stats, if you didn't know his name, that's how good a career he had, and he doesn't get enough respect for that.
I receive it. Thank you.
It's the truth.
I receive that.
If you didn't
that's good
know
for him.
That you like, if you put a Hall of Fame guy there and put your numbers next to him, they'd probably pick you for those being in the Hall of Fame. Is right. I assume.
I would assume you're right.
Your numbers are stupid. And you got something named after you. They're still doing it. Every time I watch TV,
they talk about it.
It's a peanut punch. They still talk about it.
I agree.
It's crazy.
I'm excited because I think you will have a chance to go into the Hall of Fame at some point. Hopefully closer than later. But we'll have to see. None of us have a vote. Maybe you got a vote.
I wish I had a vote.
Oh, you don't have a vote.
I'd have a lot more teammates in. Owen would be in. You'd be in. Or you'd at least be closer to being in. that thing is weird how they do that, man.
It is.
I don't understand it.
So the 2006, that was our Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
We're in Arizona. You know the game. We are who they thought they were.
Yeah, Monday night.
Yeah. What do you remember most about that game?
The halftime speech from Owen.
It was amazing.
Dude.
Olin Cruz?
OG, yeah. He said, we're not going to lose. We're going to get physical. We're going to beat them up. We're not. I don't know exactly. There's some other choice words in there. But we were down 20-0 at halftime. We won 24-23. Nutt scored a touchdown at the end of the game. Mike
off
Brown
of
scored.
A forced fumble he had.
Yeah,
on
but you scored a touchdown. You
teamwork.
The hard part. We didn't score off of the touchdown. We won 24-23. Devin also ran a kickback to CeeLo for us.
Yes, he did.
So
Mike Anderson, or no, Mark Anderson.
Cuss.
Go to the strip.
Cuss.
What's up, Cuss?
Roll Cuss.
Cuss. Roll Cuss. What's up, Cuss?
That's
Roll
right.
Yeah.
Cuss.
Same class. Yo, that's Cuss. My classmate. Mike Cuss. B picked it up, ran it in the
Mike
zone.
Mike B scored, then he got hurt the next quarter, Liz Frank injury, and you did the same, and then we beat him. And they missed a field goal. Neil Rackers missed a 37-yard field goal to beat us.
And that was when the famous Dennis Green was like, we let him off the hook.
They did.
Well,
thank you.
I don't know who's calling plays for him that game. But the second half, they ran the ball about 25 times out of 28 plays. They quit throwing the football. First half, they had a lot of success throwing the ball, and then they quit doing it. They set on their lead.
They had Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin.
I don't think Fitz played that game.
I want to know this. Tell me your favorite peanut story of all time.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could tell that one, my favorite one. But
you can say whatever you want here. We're good.
Box them up in our locker room.
Box them up.
Box them up. Remember that game, Charles?
I remember. I have a video of you getting boxed up.
That didn't happen.
I will show it later, afterwards.
It's like the worst quality I've ever seen.
I know, but I'll still show
anyway,
it.
Anyway, the box them up game was like you'd have to hide someone's like around a corner and just slam it on someone's head and start on box them up and slapping the box. I think I got this dude about 40 times. I was the best boxer of all time.
But yes.
How old are you guys?
Exactly. hold on, Roman. You've been in the locker room. You know what it's like, man. You're going to work. You're going to work, but you're hanging out with your buddies, having fun.
I think we got him the best though. It was from the second story.
Don't say we. You didn't have anything to do with it.
I conned you.
Izzy did it. Man,
I
walked out of the locker room. This is the biggest box I've ever seen, and this box falls on my head. And they got
from
it on
the second story. he's just like standing there, and this box just collapses on him, and everyone goes,
that box
and they start slapping the box, and he's like, "What do you guys do? What do you guys do?"
That's not how it went, but they got me from the second floor.
All right, I watched the video the other day, just because I knew you wouldn't remember.
I love it when those videos resurface. Remember the ones from training camp?
Yes.
I have a video of me
jumping out of Brian's closet, scaring the out of him.
It's raining camp. You didn't scare me, first of all. You might have startled me, but you didn't scare me.
It's a difference.
There's a big difference.
It's a difference.
Like, I scare people. I get startled when it happens to me.
I like it. Words matter, Peanut.
That's right, Nuts.
Words matter.
No, they don't.
So, I want to know this. You mentioned Peanut in your Hall of Fame speech.
Yes.
And so, number one, why? And number two, Peanut, how did that make you feel when you heard those words of Brian Urlacher, who you let off by saying one of your best friends and best teammates?
I will just say, I'll go first. Okay. It felt good to be seen. It felt good to be recognized for the work that I've done. But it wasn't just me, though. It was, he mentioned Alex Brown. He mentioned a lot of us. I think that Brian recognized that. I know he didn't do it alone, but he recognized I was a support staff, right?
Yes.
A supporting cast. And I think he recognized
we did it together.
We did it together.
Like,
he was the face of the franchise. We were the supporting cast.
I was up there at that time, but it was for all of us, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the one who got recognized at that point in time. But I would have mentioned 20 guys, Roman, but they give you this little amount of window you can get up there and talk. I didn't mention any coaches because if I mentioned one, I wanted to mention them all.
Oh,
I didn't feel like it was fair to say one coach and I mentioned another coach. But player-wise, I feel like I could do that because the guys that I mentioned are the guys that meant the most to me.
Yeah.
So, and the guys that probably had the biggest effect on my career, maybe?
Yes.
Mostly in a positive light, most of them.
I know there's a team that was so tight, though.
that team.
No, the team was great. Yeah. Man. We just had.
I mean, you got stomped us.
What made us? What made us bond was, I think, the games that we played. And that, and we just
not
we,
the football games.
We played for one another.
Oh, you talking about football games?
No, just in the locker room.
Everything that, we did, the dodgeball.
Yeah, like we played for one another. We were down for each other, and that's
man,
what
I
made it so cool.
I love going to work every day, man. It was so
it was
fun.
Good time.
Like you know, late in the season, you're like, oh, my body hurts. Hell no, I couldn't wait to get there. I couldn't wait to play baseball. I couldn't wait to play ping pong. I just couldn't wait to get to work. It was a blast to me.
The soccer game, Foursquare.
Oh yeah.
We could go on and on about this. I know you got to get out of here. How about that? Mr. Keith himself with the great interview. I'm calling him Keith now.
His mama named Brian. I'm going to call him Brian or Urlacher. I ain't calling him whatever you said.
Keith. Yeah, it was a good one. Awesome job by Sean Alexander, Brian Urlacher. Man, it's just thank them for coming on the show. They blessed us with some knowledge.
They dropped a lot of heat, man. I appreciate that. And also, I want to appreciate all of our fans and viewers that always tune in consistently. Please give us a 5-star rating. Not please. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a follow. Hit the review. Leave a couple comments. Please share. As a matter of fact, don't please. Share.
Tell them.
Thank you.
Say it with your chest. And
tell a friend to tell a friend to do what, Peanut?
Tell a friend.
Thank you. We out of here. NFL Players Second Hours Podcast.
Let's go.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.